it's time. It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. Super Bowl week has officially started on a Monday. Styles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m. Nate Littlefield behind the glass for us today. All three of us getting ready for our trip to Vegas. All got chopped up. Nate looking fresh. Chris looking fresh. I think I'm looking a little bit fresh myself as well. Had to have a beanie on with this weather. It's kind of ridiculous now. It's not cute anymore. We can stop.
Yeah. Yesterday was tough. Now. It was pretty windy all day yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, incredible, at least near my place, too. And just thing, you drive this morning and there's branches all over the place. I can't
everywhere.
Stand it. I can't
everywhere.
Stand it.
I feel bad. I see the turkeys out here. I'm thinking, be careful, turkey. You take flight. You're going the wrong way.
I was thinking that, too.
Going south, like, for the winter or whatever it is.
Cats or something flying around.
That is not it. But what is it are that the Kings roll over the weekend. They are now 5-1. On the road trip so far. 5-1. Yeah. They could go 6-1 if they win tonight against the Cavs, who have been even hotter than the Kings, winning 13 of their last 14 games. Chris's BFF, Donovan Mitchell, will be in the building, ready to hopefully slow down the Kings if you're a Cavs fan. But if you're a Kings fan, you're hoping that this continues to roll. So we have the whole breakdown on the games over the weekend. As the Kings beat the Pacers and the Kings beat the Bulls on a back-to-back.
What?
A back-to-back.
Is that allowed?
And it wasn't against two of the worst teams in the league. How incredible. We also got a bunch of Niners talk as we get ready to head out to Vegas after tomorrow's show. And some trades. Some guys are now off the table. Zach LaVine out for the season. What does that mean? So as soon as Zach LaVine is out for the season, okay, well, now we're looking for an OG Anunoby-type deal for Alex Caruso.
Oh, boy.
That's not how this works, Chicago Bulls. That's not how any of this works, all right? So just stop it. And look, we got to see Alex Caruso firsthand.
Yeah.
Right? Over the weekend. And I like Alex Caruso, but a couple first-rounders or whoever, a player that's worthy of a first-rounder, two of them?
Two first-round picks?
No.
I'm good. Yeah.
No.
I mean, that's just, it's a bit too much, especially when I think we talked about it last week. It seems to be a buyer's market. Like, there's you can have your Alex Caruso for max price, or you can go and look at, you know, Royce O'Neal's. You can look at Dorian Finney-Smith's for a much, much, much reduced price, and they might not be as good as Alex Caruso or as impactful, but at the end of the day, Alex Caruso is not Damian Lillard or something like that. Like, he's not a guy who I think is, you know, he's a really nice piece to have, but ultimately you can't be giving up, you know, you see what OG Anunoby has done for the Knicks. I don't think that Alex Caruso can bring that level of impact. He'll be really good. He'll be a really good piece, but I don't know about turning around your season good.
No, and you talk about, oh, the big three or whatever it is. Alex Caruso wouldn't be a member of the big three. And I think the Kings are in a position to where they might want that big three to happen organically, as we talk about the cocoon season with Keegan Murray.
Right.
Could that be your big three going into the next season? And by the way, Harrison Barnes.
HB,
another 20-plus game against the Pacers.
Right.
He had 22 against the Pacers, so shout out to Harrison Barnes. And honestly, when we talk about the Kings possibly being in the middle of their quote-unquote run, is this good or bad for the Kings right now? We'll get into all that, and we'll continue to talk Niners as they get ready to take on the Chiefs. And I love going at, because Nate basically speaks for the Niner fan base, right? At least on this show. So when me and Nate get into it about certain Niners things, it's always fun for me. I don't know how fun it is.
No, you have a blast.
For Nate. Because the thing is, now, every single day, there's a new article.
Yep.
Right? Every single day. Oh, well, Kyle Shanahan ticked people off. And, and when they saw Brock, it's giving Joe Lacob. Right. When the Warriors won in 2022, and I think they were in the middle of the finals. Joe Lacob went on some show and he was talking about how nobody thought they could do the two timeline thing.
Yep.
And they did win. And I'm sitting there, because at this time I'm still on those airwaves. And I said, Joe, You're sitting here victory lapping the two timelines when you won a championship and Kuminga barely played. Okay, he got played off the court against the Grizzlies.
Right.
Moody, you forget that he's on the team, and James Wiseman was injured.
Right.
So did you really nail the two-timeline thing?
No.
Now fast forward, and it was Jordan Poole too. Mm-hmm. Fast forward now a year, Jordan Poole got punched all the way to Washington. Kuminga is starting to figure it out. Moses Moody's injured, so he hasn't been playing. And Wiseman's in Detroit.
Chilling.
So there's just something to be said about maybe a little bit early victory
lapping
for the Niners.
That Jed York press conference last week.
The Jed York press conference. And we saw Lowell Cohn, who's obviously Grant Cohn's father. He went out and said a lot of times there's not even – now, they're known to kind of poke the bear.
Sure.
That's what they do. Both the Cohns do. But he went out and he said a lot of times these press conferences – don't just randomly happen.
Right.
Why did Jed York feel the need to come out and say these things and say, oh yeah, Kyle Shanahan said he'd be the best quarterback on the roster. It's just, can you just win the game first,
please,
then do the victory lap?
Yeah.
It's just a little early for me.
Yeah, no, it is. It's definitely early, and it's probably showing their confidence and how they feel about this team. And you know, to your point, it's also kind of in the spirit or in the nature of that Bay Area lexicon. Like, they like to flex. They like to let you know, like, we outsmarted all of you in this thing that we're all running the same race, and we just run it a whole lot better than everybody else. Forget faster. We're more efficient. We understand how the loopholes work and all these things.
Right.
And, you know, it definitely plays a part in it. But at the same time, they're also in a position where they can flex. Of course, It's a lot better to do your talking beforehand, but they definitely have some things to flex about. So you could understand why they would be excited, but you also have to understand that if you are going to come out before the game, you better go win that game, or else all of this is going to come back and bite you. And people, not only the other side, but your fans are going to throw that back in your face and say, hey, buddy, like, you might have put us in a bad situation here.
Right.
Or a worse situation.
And I'm not sure that there's any quote-unquote bulletin. It has nothing to do with the Chiefs.
No,
the Chiefs,
no.
They got to figure out how to stop the run.
Yeah.
I read something. It said over the last whatever amount of weeks with the Chiefs, they've only given up 21 points or more against three teams, and all three of those teams were very run-heavy. They just ran it down your throat over and over and over again like Marshawn. And basically the moral of the story is that's what the Niners have to do.
Yeah. I think both teams. Probably.
Both teams. Yeah. Both teams. I was going to say the difference is the Niners have, you know, more guys in their backfield, but Kyle Shanahan doesn't run anybody other than McCaffrey anyway. Honestly, I would say, and we got plenty of prop talk to get to, Debo will be behind in the backfield. Debo will be in the backfield for at least two. I would take whatever they put his rushing yards at. I would take Debo.
We're going to do a lot of prop talk. Between you, me, and Nate, there's going to be, especially once we get out there, it's going to be dangerous.
Yes, yes. So as we're out there, we'll discuss all things Niners. We're going to have so many different guests. But these next 2 days, it's going to be hardcore Kings, because we don't know how much Kings we're going to be able to get into.
Right.
Even though there's a trade deadline, there's going to be a lot of bouncing, a lot of juggling here, even though the Kings aren't going to do anything. There's going to be a lot of juggling here as we get you ready for the trade deadline and obviously for the Super Bowl. Got to get to a break. When we get back, the Kings are rolling. Are they on the run that we've been waiting to see? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Niner fans weren't too happy with Adam Schefter when the teams arrived last night, I believe. And Adam Schefter posted a tweet, and I don't know if it was due to all the Commanders talk. I don't know if you saw this. Due to all the Commanders talk about, you know, getting their guy Dan Quinn, and then they go on and they get Cliff Kingsbury as their offensive coordinator.
So weird.
So Adam Schefter says the Chiefs and the Commanders have arrived in Las Vegas for the Super Bowl and then just edited it. He decided not to delete it. He just edited it. And Niner fans, come on.
Oh, he forgot about
that
it.
That disrespectful.
This is proof that the NFL doesn't care about the Niners and the Super Bowl. It's all about the Chiefs.
I really don't know how it happened if you're Adam Schefter. You would think there'd be 8,000.
I already know.
How?
It's because he was probably, I've done it 1,000 times, and I'm sure everyone listening, he was talking to somebody about the Commanders, and he just typed it in. It's happened a million times. It happened to me yesterday, where it's just like completely, you could be talking about, we need to buy some dishwashing soap or something like that, and then you end up texting your friend you're supposed
dishwashing.
To be. Dishwashing. Yeah, and you're like, hey, meet me at dishwashing soap. Next Thursday, and it's how does that work?
That's right. So, you know, it was short-lived. He fixed the error, sure but, did. You know, there's that. I saw something
More
else.
Underdog.
I saw something. Oh, my goodness. I can't wait to talk about the against all odds. Okay, what odds are those? I saw something else that said that the NFL had only posted about, I haven't checked, but the NFL had only posted about the Chiefs' arrival.
Really?
They hadn't posted about the Niners. Now, I don't know.
They released the Super Bowl graphic today as well. And, guess who was front and center? Patrick Mahomes.
And nobody from the Niners?
They're in the background.
Sure.
They're like, you know, feature characters, but not the main star, of course.
Because this is what we talked a little bit about last week. Can you be a Vegas favorite but be an underdog?
I mean, I guess we're quickly learning that in a way, because I mean, I even looked at, the betting sites and all that stuff, and it says, at least in the research of it, that the overwhelming favorite in terms of bets placed are on the Chiefs. So it kind of becomes if your line says that the Niners are favored, but then the public is just hammering the Chiefs, I don't know. I mean, that it could tell you
better odds, though. You're just trying to win something.
It could be, I mean, I guess that, and that's Vegas's whole game, right? It's not about predicting the game. It's about predicting which way people will bet and how to collect the most money. Sure. So it's kind of tough to figure it out. I would say, I mean, I would give it to what the people say creates an underdog. Mm-hmm. I don't think. If we have to pick one, I would say that the court of public opinion is probably more representative of how people feel than the gambling line. Mm-hmm. And I would say more people outside of this Northern California would probably take the Chiefs. And that could be for selfish reasons as well. It could be, hate against the Niners. But I just think in general, people will probably take. I would say it's probably going to be like six out of 10 people, if I had to guess, would take the Chiefs.
Sure. And that's because the most important position in sports, you could argue, the quarterback position.
Well, and it's already rigged. So
and it's already rigged because of Taylor Swift, who announced a new album.
That's right.
At the Grammys.
That's right. Okay, she's playing chess, not checkers.
No, I can't keep up. She re-releases albums. Yeah. I didn't know if she won for a new album or for a re-released album that was already out. I can't keep up. You have Miley Cyrus saying, come on, I know you know this song.
I know y'all know the words, and they're like, we don't.
No, No, you know Flowers. Yeah. You know that song.
I know the hook.
She was singing. Yeah. That's what she was singing. Yeah, the Grammys was something else. I know a lot of people or some people lost power over the weekend. I think we did while we were sleeping and then woke up, and it was fine, but
it was okay.
I thought the Grammys was fine. Yeah, the Jay-Z talking about, you know what, the Jay-Z
little
thing
ramble.
Was, yeah, and hey, how Beyonce hasn't ever won Album of the Year, but has the most Grammys. I thought it was
saying
a little
people
bit,
don't deserve to be nominated.
Yeah, I thought it was funny how he owned up to the fact that other people, including himself, have done a terrible job boycotting the Grammys.
Yeah, right.
So it was a little bit of, I'm not really sure.
Yeah. Calling himself out, but also saying we need to do better. But
as I accept this award from the Grammys, and then he took a drink out of it. Those things are always really confusing
really strange.
To where people actually fall. And, you know, if you want to make a stand, then you wouldn't be there, I guess. You could make the argument.
Right.
But the bottom line is you did want to be there.
But at the same time, if you don't accept the award, then are you maybe further pushing the, hey, well, we give you an award and you don't show up, so why should we give you one?
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like a tough balancing act, but I understand. I mean, it's one of those things that where, you know, kind of like what we were just talking about with the betting, what truly it's your determination of what truly, you know, who you want to listen to as the judge of your craft. I mean, if right. you want to say, oh no, I do really care that the Grammys recognize me and acknowledge me. Well, then there's your acknowledgement, but you can just as easily say, like, I think Jay is trying to get at there is, you know, I can win zero Grammys, but if I sell tons of albums and every time I go on tour, people love me. Like, you know, what? Who are the Grammys to decide who actually is the best? I think either way is healthy to live.
But. Yeah, yeah. But at the end of the day, he was there.
He was
so
there.
So it means
so,
something
there you go.
If you were there. Also, right. shout out to Victoria Monet, Sacramento's yes. finest, winning for best new artist,
right.
which she was
That's
up
crazy.
Against some heavy hitters. I know people
I didn't think
love.
She stood a chance, to be
I
honest.
Thought it was
yeah.
Jelly Roll because yeah, everybody same. Loves Jelly Roll. He's out in the streets right now. I thought he had it for sure, but shout out to Victoria yeah. Monet. There are a couple other people that I kind of the new artist thing always confuses me because I feel like
it's
haven't
so
you
weird.
Been around for well, like 3
yeah.
years?
Even in her speech, she was like, "I've been in LA since I think she said 2009,"
yeah,
and she was like,
yeah.
"I've been slowly grinding
right. yeah.
for like 20 years here or whatever, 15 years, just to now win best new artist."
Yeah.
Like I've been at this.
Right.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, and you know what? To bring it back to the Niners, I think that. There is, and I'm working on another piece here, and this one is about Brock
really?
Purdy. Yes.
Last one was great.
And the thing
Give
about
it, SacktownSports.com.
There you go, SacktownSports.com about Kyle Shanahan. Is he ready for greatness? And the thing is, when you talk about people, whether it's an athlete or whether it's a musician or a celebrity, whatever, the term overnight celebrity, I'm
right.
not talking about the Twista song,
yes.
right?
Oh, that's
great
on
song,
heavy rotation for me right now.
Wow,
so
really?
Randomly, so randomly.
We got fired up in the
that
hotel room.
That beat is incredible.
It really
incredible.
Is.
Incredible.
Now, just because you haven't seen somebody's work, right, doesn't mean that they don't deserve their spot.
Sure.
And I feel like a lot of what happens with Brock Purdy is that people feel like he just got plopped onto this team and he doesn't deserve this because
the math teacher thing where it's show
right.
your work. Please show your
right.
work. Son.
They
I,
didn't
how am I
see
supposed
him.
To know that you got this
exactly.
answer right if I haven't seen your work?
They didn't see him climb up the top. They are not here in the Bay Area. And it's one thing to hear, yeah, he was behind Trey Lance and he was behind,
right.
you know, he was behind Sam whoever the previous year, Jimmy Garoppolo, right? They didn't see that work. So now it must be the system because we didn't see him climb up the ranks.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which is interesting because maybe it's social media. I don't know what it is, but I would love to talk with somebody who was maybe more so in the forefront because we were a bit younger when it happened with Tom Brady.
Sure.
And Drew Bledsoe because
yeah.
it's the same idea. That team was humming.
Right.
And
Bledsoe just gets hurt.
Yeah. So I would imagine Tom Brady probably dealt with similar things.
Of course.
But
yeah,
I just think yeah. in the age of social media, and Brady was another late draft pick as well, I think that, you know, people just like to see your
right.
your grind.
Right.
And I think that means more than your draft position. C.J. Stroud, people seeing him go to the playoffs. Doesn't matter
yeah.
that he went second overall, but, hey, he's on a bad team. Look at how he's just kind of elevated this team. People want to see it. So when you take somebody like Brock Purdy who went last in the draft and was on a team who – here's the thing. Las Vegas, those odds, the Niners were always top three, and Las Vegas didn't even know – who their quarterback was going to be. There
right.
was still Trey Lance.
That's right.
It was say, yeah. still Trey Lance at some point. So I think there are a lot of different ways to look at the Brock Purdy situation. But I do think part of that is if people don't feel like they didn't see your grind,
right.
then, hey, who is this guy? He doesn't deserve this, even though in Northern California, a lot of us have seen, hey, Brock was never, you know, and now they're coming out with these stories and how you don't even need to take him. Shanahan thought he was going in the fourth round, and then he
right.
just ultimately didn't go. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, the Kings are rolling. They beat the Pacers and the Bulls. And even with Tyrese Halliburton looking like Inspector Gadget, it did not make a difference as the Kings get some get back. They then beat the Bulls. And are they in the middle of that run we've been looking for? Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. We'll be right back.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Some baseball news. Jeff Passan breaking. Shortstop Bobby Witt Jr. and the Kansas City Royals are in agreement on an 11-year, $288.7 million contract, sources tell ESPN. More at ESPN.com. And this is just another gentle reminder to everybody listening to put your kids in baseball.
Yes, baseball and soccer. Okay? Just do it.
At the very least, you'll get school paid for like me. All right? You might not get $288 million. Maybe you will. Who knows?
Who knows? It's a good enough chance.
Because this is ridiculous. And
11 years?
And it's guaranteed.
Come on.
And it is guaranteed.
What do you think about, because didn't Mookie sign a 10-year deal too? And then Shohei, of course, signs this. Like, is that good for baseball? Because the NBA pretty much eliminated that. The NBA used to have like 6, 7, 8-year contracts. And they pretty much eliminated it because by like year 6 or 7, the guys were no longer worth what they initially signed for.
Yeah.
And it also keeps guys, it stunts movement in terms of, you know, trades and free agency and all that. Is that something that maybe baseball should consider?
He's 23, by the way. So this is actually, relatively speaking, this is a good deal.
Yeah, right.
Because 11 years, he'll be 34.
Through his prime, right?
That's through his prime. And I think the reason they like these elongated deals is because the money each year isn't hitting you that bad.
Right.
So there's still tradable contracts, believe it or not. So I think it's good for baseball. I think baseball, if it's going to make any news, it needs people to just be used to where people are, the player movement. You got too many dang games already, so you're already working through that. I think the player movement just isn't as – there's too much with the minor leagues. You need to just know when I wake up, Shohei's on the Dodgers, and it's the one thing I can count on. Okay, cool. I just don't think that they can operate like NBA because they don't have the star power.
Yeah,
they have to build it. They have to build it. And if you haven't watched,
I mean, it's definitely led to a lot of controversy. I mean, a lot of people don't like the player movement in basketball.
Right, a lot of people don't like that either. If you haven't watched Bobby Witt Jr., don't catch a ton of Kansas City Royals baseball. He is a stud muffin. He can hit the long ball. He steals bases. I really like the new. Obviously, he plays a premium position at shortstop. And, yeah, we actually have something to go over as far as the free agents. Can I interest you as we talk about a young stud in Bobby Witt Jr., 23 years old, shortstop? If you are a Giants fan, can I interest you in a return of a Brandon Belt?
Oh my.
He's available. He's available.
I'm sure he is.
All right.
How old is Brandon Belt at this point? 37, 36? Like, he's got to be up there. And I'm sure his OPS or
he's 35.
On-base percentage is probably still popping, you know.
He's 35, nicknamed the Baby Giraffe.
Of course.
He is a free agent. Okay, we'll have more names to throw out to you. Matt Chapman, former A,
he's been
still
literally rumored to the Giants, I feel like, since free agency started.
Yeah, I think that, you know, a lot of people aren't really, he's had some down years, and maybe his price tag hasn't gone down. So maybe he still goes to the Giants.
Is
Bellinger
still out there, too?
I believe Bellinger's still out there.
Heavily tied to the Giants as well.
Yeah, it's gotten quieter, and I know the whole baseball thing was, it's the hot stove.
Right.
It really hasn't
been
that
much of a hot stove. Well, it was supposed to heat up after Shohei. It was supposed to be, Shohei's going to sign, and then everybody's going to filter in after, and that has not been the case at all.
Has not happened. As we get to, as Bellinger last played for the Chicago Cubs, to the Chicago Bulls, who the Kings beat in their second half of a back-to-back after beating the Pacers. The Pacers game, balanced scoring. Harrison Barnes had 22. Bulls game, De'Aaron Fox goes for 41. And technically, Simone wasn't wrong. As we get into our our prop talk, technically Simone wasn't wrong because Malik Monk played well both nights.
That is true, right?
He played well both nights, so shout out to Malik Monk. We know he'd been struggling, and we were very criticized him for that on this show. And Trey Lyles, he'll just have a random 15-pointer.
Of course, yeah.
Right? Once every
Kentucky day, that's
three,
what it was.
3-4 out Kentucky day as well. So as we look at what the Kings did against the Pacers and the Bulls, does it feel like they're in the middle of, Eric quoting here, the run?
I think I don't know if I want to call it the run, but it feels like they're figuring something out right now. Where, you know, a 7-game road trip, really, it's a cliche, but it can make or break you. Like, you're either going to, you know, start to lose and things are going to start spiraling, or you're going to win and being on the road and traveling city to city, it can really bring a team together. And it feels like they're starting to play consistently pretty good basketball. The problem has also been the consistency has been they haven't been able to close out these games. So it's tough to feel really good about it because it feels like every time they get up by 15, 20 points, by the end of the game, it's a 6-point game. And it's like, I can't fully enjoy this victory because in my mind, it's tied to something stressful. And so I do think that the end results have kind of done the Kings poorly, but the process has been all right. I think they've played really good basketball. They just have not been able to play 4 straight quarters of really good basketball.
Yeah, the Bulls one was tough because you're up 30.
Yes, a 30 burger. 30!
And you blew it, but you did feel, at least I did.
Were you almost up too much too early?
Yes.
Like, it was almost bound to, you can't hold the 30-point lead, you know,
half. I guess to me, the bottom line is that they didn't blow it. The Bulls never took the lead. Okay, they always kept them at bay enough, so I give them a pass there. In the Pacers game, I just felt like that Pacers game was arguably a more complete game, if you will.
I would say so, yeah.
And, you know, Halliburton played limited minutes. And by the way, the Halliburton thing, I don't get that at all. Either your hamstring is good or not.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
I thought him coming
off the bench completely ruined his normal flow.
And he didn't even play. He didn't even play in the first quarter.
Yeah.
So this was what was weird. They were coming off the back-to-back.
Yeah.
They sit him with like 10 minutes left in the fourth against the Knicks.
Right.
But and then you don't play him. It's just a hamstring. It is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't understand
the. You're not.
I don't understand the minutes restriction.
Yeah, I didn't get it. I think it was overthinking it completely. I think Rick Carlisle probably he tried to do the inverse of what he did against the Knicks, where he was like, okay, I started Tyrese, I couldn't finish him.
Right.
So today I'm gonna not start him and play him really just the second and then the fourth quarter. But it just didn't end up working that way, and it felt like even when Tyrese was in there, it wasn't super impactful. Yeah,
can't get into a flow.
Felt like he was a spot up shooter really out there, and I'm more than okay. I think he finished with 1 assist that game, so just not really. I didn't feel like it was the right game plan for him. And after that game, I was shocked to see I didn't feel like Pascal Siakam had that big of an impact. And then I looked at the box score after, and he was like 12 of 15 at 25 points. And I was like, Mathurin was the one that really just killed
them. Mathurin was cooking. Yeah. Mathurin was cooking. And I know isn't he a sophomore as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally,
so the Pacers are going to be around for a while,
Probably.
But the Kings were able to get it done and then go on to beat the Bulls on the back to back. And I think a lot of us were a little bit worried about that. Nothing to sneeze at. You got DeRozan, a lot of these guys, and you know the Kings come up with another W. This is where you can really make a stand here. You go 6-1 on a road trip, and you do it against a Cavs team that have won. And we'll highlight the Cavs team more a little bit later. 13 of their last 14 games.
Crazy. That's nuts. And the Kings are playing well right now, but they are not playing that well right now.
Right.
That's insane. That they're playing that well. And, you know, it's going to be a tough matchup. I know the Kings have actually, weirdly enough, had the Cavs number the past year and a half. They've beaten them the last 3 times they've played them. But, you know, that's a tough team. And Donovan Mitchell versus De'Aaron Fox, it's going to be a race to 35, 40 points. I can already see it tonight. Well, it is going to be tonight. I think it's going to be a really good game. 2 teams playing really maybe the best basketball they've played all year, and then the Kings having that element of it being the last game of the road trip. This might sound obvious, but it's one of those where it's the last game of the trip. You're either giving it your all, you're like, hey, let's end this road trip with a stamp, or you know, it's the last game of the road trip. I'm looking forward to getting home already. Is this thing over? It'll be interesting to see the amount of attention to detail that they give, because they've been really sharp on this trip. It'd be pretty disappointing, but also pretty fitting if they just kind of let this one slip.
And I'll never forget what Coach Mike Brown said probably a month ago when he seriously just sat down and said, teams are going to decide who they want to be in February.
Yeah.
That's when they're going to decide who they want to be, if they want to really make a run at this thing or if they're cool just with the status quo. And if I'm the Kings, I'm looking at this and I'm just continuing to look ahead.
Yeah.
You haven't even got to Nuggetsville, where you play the Nuggets three times in the month of February.
Yeah.
So you take care of this game. Sure, we know you
got Detroit on Wednesday.
You tried. You took the Pistons a little bit as least amount of seriousness as you could possibly have. That's what happened the last time you played. But you learned from that, and then you powered through, and that's the first game against the Nuggets out of the three in February. Got to get to a break. When we get back, is this run that the Kings are on good or bad as it pertains to the long tail hope for their season? Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
I don't know if we want to call it field gate, but there are a lot of different things being thrown around about the field situation. We actually have some sound from Adam Schefter that we will play as well. But we want to find somebody with their boots on the ground, as our boots aren't quite on the ground yet. That starts Wednesday as we fly out tomorrow. A lot of issues with the flights. Emil Fragoso, our guy, is delayed as well. So we are trying to figure out what the heck is going on. Akash Anavaratan will join us at 11:30 to break down what is going on with the field situation. This is Akash 40 minutes ago. He is quote tweeting Matt Maiocco, who is for NBC Sports Bay Area with the Niners. Matt Maiocco says the 49ers are scheduled to go on the practice field at UNLV at noon today. League source says there are concerns about the condition of the practice field after natural grass was laid down last week over the artificial surface field. I need some clarity on why they would do that.
Yeah, it doesn't.
If they had turf and you're playing on turf,
right?
What is why?
I would think it maybe has to do with just the fact. I assume the Niners practice on grass for the entirety of the year, just because that's what they use. So maybe it's just a comfort and a hey, we've done this all year, let's not switch it up now thing. But to your point, I would think you'd want to get as accustomed to the surface you're going to be playing on in the game.
Right. We need to find out if the Niners asked for that.
I would assume they would.
Right. Well, because the way now it's being kind of shown, or the way, you know, kind of Niners media is saying it is, we just want confirmation that the Niners asked
for
this.
They asked for this, right.
Yes, it's exactly.
Not, yeah.
So then Akash goes on to say, the 49ers are also practicing outdoors while it's raining here in Las Vegas. Meanwhile, the Chiefs will be working out of the Raiders' indoor practice facility and avoid the rain.
Taylor Swift's fault. Is that the treatment?
Is that what? Is that whose
the
fault
fix
it is?
In.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is, too, from what I understand, the Raiders have multiple fields. It's not just the I guess they just unveiled some brand new state-of-the-art indoor facility, but the Raiders have like two or three other practice fields that allegedly could have been used, but I think they all are turf. So, again, it kind of, to me, I don't know. Maybe again, I don't know the exact specifics of the Niners situation, but it just seems to me like the easier fix would be, hey, just play on turf for this week.
Yeah, right. So we will try to figure out field gate or grass gate and what the heck is going on there as we continue to break down all things Kings. Kings on a 5-1 stretch right now on this road trip with a chance to go 6-1. This is their longest road trip of the season, and it would be their, it's already their most successful road trip of the season.
Yeah.
We were hoping for 4-3 and said, hey, it would be really nice to get 6-1.
Yeah.
It would be really nice to get 5-2.
Yes.
They're looking at 6-1 if they can get it done tonight against the red hot Cleveland Cavaliers. Yeah. And the question becomes, as it pertains to these different trades. And now Zach LaVine getting surgery, he's off the trade market. Is this run good or bad, as crazy as it sounds, for the Kings?
Yeah. You could definitely, I'll play, I guess, devil's advocate and say that there is an argument that this is, while it is great that the Kings are winning games, maybe you could argue that it's maybe going to mask some overall issues for this team that could or need to be addressed
right.
if they want to have success this year. It kind of, again, we've talked about this, I feel like, for months now, but it comes down to what the Kings are hoping to get from this year. Is this truly a building year, or is this a year where they want to see tangible results and success and forward progression in terms of, hey, last year you were a first-round exit, this year you're a second-round team? Mm-hmm. Is that the only thing that is viewed as success? Because if it is, well, then I would argue that, you know, maybe this team, if they are looking to win this year, these wins obviously make you feel better about the current crop of guys, and maybe they don't make a move. But if you feel like, you know, the goal is for this team to, in the next 3 years, get to a championship or a championship level, well, then, you know, maybe again, you could argue that these losses or the Kings should still look to get somebody for the future. And I, again, we don't know which way they're leaning right now, but of course, that's being devil's advocate. Of course, I'm going to say this win streak, I don't care if it affects any of that. I think the important thing is this group of guys are playing well now, and I think you figure the rest out later.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the guys that were on the trade market for the Kings, Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter, I mean, Harrison Barnes is really the more confusing one.
Of course,
even though Kevin Huerter has played his heart out, I don't feel like Kevin Huerter has really convinced anyone that he shouldn't be moved.
No.
Right? Yeah, if he was in the middle of a heater or something like that, kind of like how HB, Harrison Barnes is, but Kevin Huerter is playing well, but nine points, two rebounds, two assists against the Bulls. I mean, you can't change anybody's mind. And the question is, what can you get back from him? He did have 15 against the Pacers, 15, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. But again, I don't know.
Fine.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's really tough. I in a way don't envy Monty McNair at all, because you do have to really try and figure out, again, what you're trying to get and what you're willing to leverage and get rid of. Because yes, Kevin Huerter isn't playing, or you feel like you can't upgrade from that Kevin Huerter spot, but at the same time, you know, Kevin Huerter's not a bad player, and it's going to be tough for them to make that decision of, is HB's recent play good enough to where we should take him off of the trade block and just have him in our future plans? I mean, they clearly re-signed him this offseason and had to do that thought process already. And clearly they came up with, we would like to keep him in our future plans, or at the very least, maybe they just said, we can move him. This is a movable contract. But I think it's really tough. I wouldn't let HB's recent play affect it, but at the same time, I've said it before, I think that this team could desperately just use depth at the forward position. And if you could get another forward for giving up Kevin Huerter and Davion Mitchell, I might look at that before I just openly shop HB and try and get a Kyle Kuzma or whoever it is that the Kings really feel like is a top-end talent that they want.
Yeah, the bottom line for me is, if HB's market value has changed, then you make a decision. If it hasn't, then I think you put him in the vault.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you're still going to have to give up HB and Huerter, and he's,
that's a good point,
he's in fuego right now, I'd rather say, let's just see. And I think I did read that somewhere. At this point in time, the Kings are trying to maybe look more to a Davion Huerter situation and just say, all right, HB, if we're still going to have to give up these guys because of the market, we might as well just hold on to HB.
Yeah.
Which feels crazy, but we're now going on, I mean, 5-6 games here of Harrison Barnes not going crazy in MJ like he did against the Warriors, but it's exactly just what we've been hoping for. So the Bulls was a quieter game. He had 11 points, Only one rebound, zero assists. The Pacers, he had 22 points, four rebounds, one assist. The Heat was the game he had cooled off.
Right.
Right. So he went 0 for 6 from 3, 5, you know, 5 rebounds. They lost that game.
Mm-hmm.
Grizzlies, he had 12. That was off of the Heaters. He was 2 for 10 from 3. And then before that was the 20 points against the Mavs, 39 against the Warriors, 32 against the Hawks. So.
But you see an elevated role with HB, too.
You like definitely have.
The amount of shot attempts he's taking. Like, because it wasn't just the numbers, like the stats, the points per game that was down in the beginning of the year that was so concerning. It was, this dude's, like, taking three shots in 25 minutes.
Well,
and just can't have that. Now, to your point, even in that Grizzlies game, he's struggling, but he still went 2 of 10 from 3. He still took 10 threes. I can live with that because I feel like HB most nights will hit 3 or 4 if he's taking 10.
Okay, so we have conversations with Coach Mike Brown, and a lot of times he says things haven't really been said, but listen to this real quick. January 5th, HB took 12 shots, right? He had 12 field goals, January 5th. After that, the next time he eclipsed 10 shots was the start of the HB run.
Wow.
So that was January 22nd. So between January 5th and January 22nd, he never eclipses 10 field goals.
Yeah.
Then after that, he's eclipsed 10 field goals every game.
Every single game.
Every game. He went 20 against the Hawks, 24 against the Warriors, 11 against the Mavs, 15 against the Grizzlies, 13 That's against crazy. The Heat, 14 against the Pacers, and 10 against the Bulls.
Yeah, and I mean, that tells you right there, like, that's them. I think it's been on more touches, but for the most part, it just feels like he's been more aggressive in when he gets the ball. Instead of just HB gets it, he moves it instantly. Mm-hmm. It's HB gets it, and he kind of sizes him up a little bit, and he's like, can I take this? Is this a time for me to shine? I've liked it. I think it's been good. It's of course he's had a couple off nights, but I think we've now had 6 or 7 games, 6 maybe that he's had that elevated attempts, and it's felt like in 4 of them he's been really productive. And so I feel like I can live with 2 bad games if we're going to get a majority of good games out of HB. And I think, you know, it might have been a couple weeks ago I brought up the touches, the difference from this year and last year. And the big difference was HB was 3rd in touches halfway through the year last year. And this year, I think he was 5th or 6th. And it feels like they've gone back to, hey, HB is a guy who can help us today, here and now. We're hoping Keegan Murray down the line can be the guy that overall helps us. But today, we need HB. We need the guy that HB is. And it feels like ever since they've done that, it's worked out for both sides.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, now that HB is rolling, what does that mean for Kevin Huerter? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.